Mr. Silver, you say you're a seafaring man?
Seafaring man?
I was. Till a killer whale took a bite of me leg in the South China Sea.
Nice eye patch. My name is James and...
Ain't talking to you, boy.
Mr. Silver, I need to ask you something.
What is it, James?
It's about Billy Bones.
We love stories!
It's time for the Appleseed, some time just about every day filled with stories for you and your family. I'm Sam Payne, and it's great to have you with us. We're super excited about the hour we'll spend today. And not just today, we're bringing you all 10 episodes of Treasure Island 2020 over the next little while. The swashbuckling, time-traveling, serialized adventure, a retelling of Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novel, Treasure Island. The adventures of James, Morgan, Max, Billy Bones, and the rest coming at you every day for every exciting moment of the 10-part series. This series was produced with our partners at Gen Z Media. And those guys have all kinds of great stuff, serialized storytelling adventure at their website. You can find all kinds of stuff at bestrobotever.com. Serialized radio storytelling for all ages, especially if you like the kind of stuff you're hearing on Treasure Island 2020. You're going to want to check out our friends at Gen Z Media for more. Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote the classic novel that inspired Treasure Island 2020, wrote a terrific little poem about pirates that may be just the way to begin our adventure today. And when I say it's a poem about pirates, I really mean it's a poem about pretending to be pirates, about three kids who make a pirate ship out of a basket and who pretend that the field near their house is the wide ocean and that the cows in the field are enemy pirate ships. It celebrates the spirit of imagination we all know something about. And to invoke the muse of pirate adventure, here's that poem by Robert Louis Stevenson. Three of us afloat in the meadow by the swing, three of us aboard in the basket on the lee. Winds are in the air, they are blowing in the spring, and waves are on the meadow, like the waves there are at sea. Where shall we adventure today that we're afloat, wary of the weather and steering by a star? Shall it be to Africa, a steering of the boat to Providence or Babylon or off to Malabar? Aye, but there's a squadron a-rowing on the sea, cattle on the meadow, a-charging with a roar. Quick, and we'll escape them. They're as mad as they can be. The wicket is the harbor, and the garden is the shore. A little poem about pretending to be pirates from Robert Louis Stevenson, who wrote Treasure Island, the classic novel that inspired Treasure Island 2020, in which James, Max, and Morgan have just washed up on a mysterious shore after being sucked through the vortex, whatever that is. What's next? You'll find out right after a quick break on today's episode of Treasure Island 2020. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to The Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to The Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed. Previously on The Appleseed, James Hawkins, a regular kid who lives in Montauk, New York, where he runs a hotel with his mom, met a mysterious man dressed like a pirate named Billy Bones. And for some reason, the world-famous undersea explorer Frank Kincaid is as interested in Billy as James is. And it's a mystery that James starts to unravel with his friends Max and Morgan. There's a mysterious treasure map and talk of something called the Vortex, and more than just a hint that Billy Bones doesn't just come from another place, but another time, too. And together, James and his friends find themselves on the run from Frank Kincaid and his henchmen and caught up in the mysterious vortex that dumps them on a beach that doesn't look anything like the present-day Montauk, New York. And with that, here it is, Episode 3 of Treasure Island 2020, here on the Appleseed.
Guys, where are we?
I think the better question is, when are we? Someone's coming. Is that...
a one-legged man?
Shh, quiet!
Pieces of eight! Pieces of eight!
A one-legged man with a parrot! Excuse me, sir. Who are you?
Silver's the name. Long John Silver, they calls me. And who might ye be?
I...
Well, you got names, don't you?
I'm James Hawkins, and these are my friends Morgan and Max Goodwin.
At your service, James Hawkins. Mistress Morgan, Master Max.
At your service. At your service.
Could you curb the parrot, please?
Don't be afeard of Polly. She's harmless, just like me. So, tell me, mateys, how came ye to be on this beach in the dead of winter?
Winter? When we left home, it was summer.
Was it now? Well, that's quite a journey, lass. And where's home?
Well, you see, we...
Like you said, sir, we've traveled far. And as you can see, what's left of our little boat is in pieces. We're cold and wet.
And hungry.
Is there shelter nearby?
We're just a stone's throw from the best inn for miles. You're looking at her cook.
You're the cook.
And a fine one at that. Come now, the Admiral Benbow Inn awaits.
Did you say the Admiral Benbow?
Aye, you've heard of it.
It sounds familiar.
Hurry along, Ben. Don't forget your sea bag.
My sea bag? Oh, my backpack! It made it through the vor... It survived the journey.
We'll walk along the shoreline. Tide's going out. Surely you can keep up with a one-legged cook.
What are we doing? We need to find a way home.
First, we need dry clothes, food, and answers.
James is right. What choice do we have?
I can't hear you over the wind and the waves. What's that you said?
If you don't mind me asking, are we in Montauk?
Aye, on the very tip of Long Island.
How is that possible?
How's that?
Beg pardon, Mr. Silver, but we've been at sea so long, we've forgotten what year it is.
Why, it's 1756, in the year of our Lord. What else would it be?
1756?
1756! 1756!
BYU Radio presents Treasure Island 2020, a reimagined audio adventure based on the classic novel by Robert Louis Stevenson. Episode 3, A One-Legged Seafaring Man.
Here 'tis, me friends, the Admiral Benbow. May she last 200 years.
250?
If you say so, James. Shall we?
Is it just me, or are all of these rough customers looking at us?
It's not you, Max. Hello, everyone.
What are you staring at? These be three young visitors to our fair shore. Show 'em a warm welcome. I said, show 'em a warm welcome.
Welcome. Welcome.
How about a hot toddy and a woolen blanket?
Oh, they're shivering. Here's a place by the fire.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
That's more like it. I'll see to it they're well fed. The rest of you, make 'em feel at home.
Guys, is it possible? Did that whirlpool take us back in time 300 years?
263, actually, and it was a vortex.
Which is what, exactly?
Think of it like a door in the space-time continuum.
A door?
Look, ever since Einstein, scientists have said the faster you move through space, the slower you move through time.
You mean we were caught in a whirlpool, spinning so fast?
Vortex. It's a vortex.
A vortex spinning so fast that it took us back to the 18th century?
The same sort of vortex that brought Billy Bones forward to our time.
At least we're safe from Frank Kincaid and his modern-day pirates.
Yeah, but what if we've only traded them for the real deal? What if Long John Silver is the one-legged seafaring man Billy Bones warned us about?
We'll keep an eye on him.
I like his parrot.
Parrots bite, and the man has a wooden leg.
Look around. Half these people are missing an arm, a leg, a few fingers, even an eye.
Morgan's right. It was a hard life back then.
Then is now, and I want to go home.
Max Goodwin, where's your sense of adventure?
Buried underneath my sense of not wanting to die in 1756.
And what about the treasure, the one Kincaid was after, that Billy Bones almost died for? The map is on your phone, Max. We're closer than ever to finding it.
And closer to getting our throats cut. Don't look now, but one of those one-eyed, four-fingered freaks is coming this way.
Oi, where'd you get them clothes, kiddies? Half a scarecrow?
Hello, sir. Nice eye patch. My name is James and—
Ain't talking to you, boy. You in a show or something, lassie?
This is how we dress, where we come from.
That's so. And the lads wear funny-looking spectacles like these.
Please give me my glasses back.
You must be blind. Even me good eye can't see a thing through these papers.
He asked nicely. Give them back, sir.
Or what? You gonna fight me for them?
On second thought, I don't need them. I mean, I can just squint or get myself a dog.
We said give my brother back his glasses.
Ooh, the lassie's got spirit, boys. What do we have here?
Hey, get away from my backpack.
I'm tired of you giving me orders, boy.
Hey, let me go.
You look hungry, Sam. Have some soup.
Have some soup. Have some soup.
Burns! It burns!
Don't like my soup, eh? How'd you like me to serve it with a carving knife?
I'm sorry, John Silver.
Now, kindly give Master Max back his spectacles.
Sure, John. Whatever you say, John. Here you are, lad. I clean them with my sleeve, if you like.
No thanks. It's covered in soup.
You're forgetting your manners. Apologize to me young friend, Morgan.
Beg pardon, lassie. I mean, missy. I mean, any friend of Long John Silver's is a friend of Sam Moffat's.
Now get, before I put you in a pot and boil like a lobster.
Fine. I'm leaving.
Thank you, Mr. Silver.
Max, don't you have something to say to Mr. Silver?
Is there any more soup?
The inn's full up for the night, but you can rest your weary bones here in the galley.
Galley?
What sailors call a kitchen.
Right.
So, Mr. Silver, you say you're a seafaring man?
Seafaring man? What?
I was. Till a killer whale took a bite of me leg in the South China Sea. I decided then and there I'd rather cook a fish than be eaten by one. Been a landlubber ever since.
My brother was concerned you might be a pirate.
Me? A pirate? That's a good one, ain't it, Polly? John Silver is a peace-loving man, unless he's provoked. Now, suppose you tell me how you three ended up on that beach in them strange clothes with that funny-looking sea bag.
Well, you see...
We were shipwrecked, Mr. Silver.
Shipwrecked?
Yes. We were bound for the West Indies when a terrible storm came as if from nowhere. The crew was brave, but the ship started taking on water, and our dear parents put us in a lifeboat. The next thing we knew, a giant wave swept us away and smashed our little boat into bits on the beach.
It's a wonder you're still alive.
It's a miracle.
I can hardly believe it myself.
Poor things. Then you're orphans.
We pray that's not true. But the only way we'll know is to find our way to the West Indies and hope our beloved parents are waiting for us there.
Well, there's many a ship in the harbor bound for warm water, but it costs a pretty penny to book passage.
Something tells me they don't take Apple Pay.
Pay your way with apples, you say?
Now, Max was joking. How much would it cost?
More coins than you've got, lass.
Will this do?
As I live and breathe, a Spanish doubloon.
Pieces of eight.
May I ask you where you got it?
On our voyage, we made the acquaintance of a Mr. William Bones.
James helped Billy out with a problem of his.
Billy Bones, eh? It is a strange name.
He was a strange man.
Well, I'm grateful that the fates brought the three of you to me. And when morning comes, I'll help you find a ship to take you to the West Indies.
You will?
You'll help us?
Who am I to argue with the fates? Till then, sleep tight, James, Max, Morgan.
Good night, Mr. Silver, and thank you.
Good night, Polly.
Sleep tight. Don't let the killer whales bite.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Black Flag Float in Mortuary offers expert assistance for those sensitive end-of-life plans. Funeral homes place bodies in boxes and then bury them. That disrupts the circle of life. At Black Flag Float in Mortuary, we'll conduct the funeral on our ship. We will tastefully nudge your dearly departed out on a plank above the ocean. Then we'll drop the bag of bones into the deep, where the body becomes fish food. So your loved one literally becomes one with nature. There's nothing more beautiful. Pay a bit extra and your deceased person will get a cannon salute. Let's see a funeral home try that. Black Flag Float in Mortuary. A grand adventure in death.
And now, back to the show.
James, you awake?
Like I could sleep with Max making all that noise.
That boy can snore through a hurricane.
You can wake the dead. What time is it?
Oh, it's about 1756.
I still can't believe it. We're time travelers. Just think of the stories we'll tell when we get back home.
Home? Now you're talking. When morning comes, we find the vortex, wherever it is, and go back to where we belong.
We can't quit yet, Max. Billy Bones almost died to protect the treasure.
Is that supposed to make me feel better?
And what about the weird note we found in the old pirate book? It had all three of our names on it. Like we were meant to find it. You still have it, don't you, James?
Right here in my backpack, along with Billy's old key.
This is not some fun adventure story. We're trapped in the past. The dirty, scary, dangerous past. And I'm pretty sure I just saw a rat with an eye patch.
We can't find the vortex without a boat, Max. The way back is forward. And thanks to you, we've got Billy's treasure map, the one tattooed on his chest, preserved on your phone.
About that.
Don't tell me you lost it.
Might as well have. Look what happens when I try to turn it on.
Ooh.
Maybe it was the salt water, or the electromagnetic field of the vortex, or maybe the battery's just shot. We may have survived the vortex, but my phone was not so lucky.
There goes our treasure map and our adventure.
Wait. Max, did you take a good look at the map?
Of course I did.
Why?
Max has a photographic memory, which means...
The map is preserved in my brain where no one can touch it.
I knew it! Max, you're brilliant!
Treasure Island, here we come!
Max, say something. Can you get us there?
Now, ain't that a sight? A forest of tall ships, each one with a heart of oak. Ahoy there! It's Long John Silver and friends.
Silver and friends. Silver and friends.
I'll be right back, kids.
Do we have to wear these silly clothes? My pants are enormous.
Why are you complaining? I'm the one in a skirt to my ankles.
Shh. Mr. Silver was nice enough to procure us some warm and appropriate attire. We have to blend in or we'll never get aboard one of these ships.
We aren't telling Long John Silver about the treasure, right?
He could still be Billy's one-legged seafaring man. Let's see how this goes.
I'm sure it's gonna go just great.
Here he comes.
Now listen up, young friends. Let John Silver do the talking. It's a wicked world with wicked people who would take advantage of good sorts like you.
I like the look of that ship, Mr. Silver. The Flying Fox.
You got a good eye, James, lad. But the captain's a real hard case. Fortunately, he's a friend of mine. Ahoy, Captain Gower! Permission to come aboard.
Stay at your business, John Silver.
My friends here wish to book passage to Jamaica.
Then your friends can look elsewhere. I don't sail with children.
We're not children, and we'll pay our way.
With what? Seashells?
With these.
Spanish gold.
Spanish gold?
Aye, that got your attention, didn't it, Gower? These orphans have rich folks waiting in Jamaica. There's plenty more of them coins when they get there.
Well, I might be willing to take the two lads to work their way, but every sailor knows a female on a ship is bad luck.
Excuse me? Blatantly sexist.
How's that?
It's all of us or none of us.
Then I guess it's none. Take these waifs and move along. Go find yourselves another ship before I feed you to the fishes.
You listen here, you close-minded,
yeah,
chauvinistic...
Come along, friends. There's other ships in the sea.
It's no use. We've tried every ship in the harbor. We're either too young...
or too female.
Where did Mr. Silver go? Because I'm freezing, and if he gave up on us, I think we should take that as a sign.
Wait, what about that one over there? I don't think it was docked when we started looking.
It's smaller than the rest. Looks kind of rickety, too.
Shh! The captain's on deck. He might hear you.
Why is he staring at us like that?
I think he's got a nice face. The only one we've seen without a beard.
How are we doing, friends?
Mr. Silver, there you are. What do you think about that ship?
Well, I've seen worse. Give it a go, James.
Me?
Why not? You can only be better than I was.
Ahoy there, Captain! We're looking for passage to the West Indies!
Was wondering when you'd get to me. Ain't had much luck today, have ya?
Because of me! These cavemen are too scared to sail with a girl on board.
Are you scared, Captain?
Me? I'd be in trouble if I was. Here, lass. Hold me pipe and me hat.
Okay.
Whoa. That is a lot of red hair.
You're a girl.
Captain Bonnie O'Rourke to you. Me husband, may he rest in peace, was the owner and skipper of the Hispaniola. He taught me how to sail her in weather fair and foul, as well as any man.
I like your pants. I'm Morgan.
Pleased to make your acquaintance, Morgan.
Then you'll take us? We'll pay our way and work for it, too.
Takes more than a ship and sail. I have a couple of loyal hands, but the same superstition that keeps you on dry land keeps me from finding a full crew.
Beg pardon, ma'am. I mean, Captain.
You're the cook at the Admiral Benbow, are you not?
Silver's the name. Long John to me friends. And suppose I was to offer me own humble self as ship's cook.
You'd go with us, Mr. Silver?
Why not, lad? Old John's been landlocked far too long. He's got the itch to go adventuring again.
That makes four of us. It's a start.
Have you sailed before?
No, but we'll learn fast.
Do you have seasick pills?
What say ye, Captain Bonnie O'Rourke?
You say I don't like the cut of your jib, John Silver. And your stew ain't so great neither. I'll round up me own crew. You stick to your stove.
Suit yourself. But if you change your mind, you know where to find me.
Come back tomorrow, kids. With some luck, I'll have a full crew ready to sail.
For the sake of me young friends, I hope you will.
Mr. Silver, why doesn't she want you on her ship?
Pure prejudice, James, lad. I can do more with one leg and a wooden stump than the whole Royal Navy.
I like her. But will she be able to find a crew?
In a word, Morgan lass, not a chance.
That's three words.
Still here, I see, Silver. No takers?
We found a ship, Captain Gower.
Rust bucket without a crew. That won't get you very far.
It ain't polite to gloat, Gower.
Not gloating. As a matter of fact, I've been reconsidering your offer.
You mean you've been reconsidering the gold?
Smart one, aren't you? Meet me back here at midnight. I'll sneak you aboard my ship before the crew's the wiser. Once we set out to sea, it'll be too late to turn back.
What's to stop your crew from tossing the girl overboard?
I give my word as an officer and a gentleman. I'll protect her.
No way.
We can't risk it.
We'll do it. We didn't come this far to stop now.
Brave girl.
Aye, she's braver than all of us put together. Till midnight, then.
Midnight. Midnight.
Gower? Captain Gower? Where are you?
Shh.
down here. Climb into the longboat and we'll row you to the ship.
Who's we?
Just me and Joe, my bosun's mate. Say hello to the fine folks, Joe.
Friendly guy.
Step lively. It'll be 8 bells soon and the changing of the watch.
Do you need help coming down, Mr. Silver?
Very kind of you, lad, but I think I can manage.
Wow, he moves pretty good.
For a one-legged seafaring man.
Well, let's be off then. Time and tide wait for no man or woman.
It's awfully dark and cold. A moon would have been nice.
Better this way.
Better for whom?
All right, Joe. This is far enough.
Captain, why have we stopped in the middle of the harbor?
We haven't reached the ship.
And some of us never will.
Gower, put down that pistol.
I'm afraid I can't do that, John Silver. I'll have that gold. All of it. Or you and your friends end up at the bottom of the sea.
You! You're nothing but a thief!
Joe, your dagger.
Sharp as a razor, she is.
Now he talks.
The gold, if you please, kiddies. Or if you don't please.
You've thought of everything, Gower.
That's a habit of mine.
Thought of everything, except for that hooting over there.
It's an owl. What about it?
Might want to look a bit closer.
Your parrot sounds like an owl?
When she wants to. And did I mention she bites?
Watch out for the bird!
She bites!
Ow! Bloody bird, she's got me knife!
And now for that pistol. You missed. But I won't mess with me crutch. Into the drink with you!
Morgan, Max, grab an oar!
I don't know how to row.
No, use it to hit Joe.
Right, Joe.
Nice, kid. You wouldn't hit me with that oar now, would you?
Hit him with the oar.
One,
easy.
Two.
Easy there, kid.
Charge!
I hope you two can swim!
Silver, I'll catch you for this.
Not if the sharks get you first. I think I see a dorsal fin off the starboard bow.
Swim for it, Joe. Swim! I'm swimming as fast as I can.
Are there really sharks out there, Mr. Silver?
Who knows? Now, row for shore, friends. Food and drink are on me.
Woohoo! Let's go!
Nothing like a nice hot meal after a refreshing trip around the harbor. Eat up! Eat up!
We are, Mr. Silver. And you, Polly.
Huh? You and Polly?
Captain Gower would have fed us to the fishes.
More stew, please.
How can we repay you?
Just seeing you safe and sound is all the reward I need.
Mr. Silver, I need to ask you something.
What is it, James?
It's about Billy Bones.
Hawkins?
Are you sure about this?
It's okay, I think. See, Billy Bones. He washed up on the beach and he was saying things.
What kind of things was he saying?
He warned me about a one-legged seafaring man.
And you think I'm him?
It crossed our minds.
I can see now why you'd have a hard time trusting Long John Silver, aside from me rough looks. If you need to take your journey without me, I will harbor no hard feelings.
You saved our lives.
This be a dark and dangerous world, James. It's a better place with folks like you three in it.
There's something else. Billy Bones, he was a pirate, we think. And he had a map, a treasure map, tattooed on his chest.
On his chest, you say?
I had a picture of it. But then, you might say I lost it.
That is a pity.
Only, I still have it here in my head, committed to memory.
My brother has a big brain. Sometimes too big.
We all have our gifts. I suspect Max is smarter than most I've encountered.
Thanks, and you're right.
Anyway, part of the reason why we need a ship is to find the treasure.
I see. It must have been a burden carrying that secret all the way here from wherever it is you came from. Now that you've shared it with me, let's take an oath on it.
When you say an oath, do you mean a blood oath?
I told you, I don't believe in bloodshed. Here's me hand. Let's shake on it. One atop the other like flapjacks. All for one and one for all, eh?
All for one and one for all.
If there's a treasure, we'll share it, okay?
If you say so, James Hawkins. But your friendship is treasure enough.
Captain Bonnie, we're back.
Good news, Master Hawkins. I found some brave souls who don't mind sailing with a woman at the helm.
And another on board?
Aye. I put out the word, and wouldn't you know, about a dozen men showed up this morning.
A dozen? That's enough to sail?
Close enough, Max. They're a rough bunch, but they'll do, as long as they get paid.
I think we need to tell her, Hawkins.
Me too.
Tell me what?
We found a map, a treasure map, of an island just waiting to be discovered. And we can find it, if you'll take us all there.
All?
They mean me, Captain.
Mr. Silver, I thought I made myself clear.
He saved our lives. We won't go without him.
I want to help. I hear the way they muck you, Bunny, how they treat you like you aren't a real captain.
I can outsail and outrun the lot of them.
We believe you can, and we believe that you can get us where we need to go.
I don't trust you, John Silver, but I trust these kids, so that'll have to be good enough.
Yes, ma'am. I mean, aye, aye.
Crew, come meet your benefactors.
Long John Silver, as I live and breathe.
Him, the bully you dumped the soup on.
Sam Moffat. Guess we're all one big crew now.
No hard feelings, then.
Long as we all understand who's in charge. And mind your language, there's young'uns on this voyage.
We've heard it all on the subway.
How's that?
He means we come from the city.
I wasn't just talking of you, Butch. I meant me cabin girl. You, Pip.
Aye, Captain.
Morrigan, James, and Max, meet Pip.
That's a big knife you carry for such a little kid.
Big enough to carve you into fish bay.
A word to the wise, gentlemen. Don't underestimate Pip. Or me.
Or me.
Well said, lass. Mr. Reed.
Aye, Captain.
This is Mr. Isaiah Reed. He sailed with me husband, and never once did he fail to bring the Hispaniola home as sound as when she left. He's me first mate, and his word is law.
Well, don't just stand there. At your stations, prepare to set sail.
If you'll excuse me.
Mr. Silver, you're going the wrong way.
Forgot me parrot, Captain. Can't sail without Polly. I'll be back. Don't you worry.
If you're not, we'll sail without you.
We'll come with you, Mr. Silver.
Nay, James, lad. You get yourself stowed. And save a hammock for old John Silver. I won't be long. Blast this swamp. Me wooden leg keeps getting stuck in the mud.
You're lucky I don't toss you in with the other toads and snakes, Silver.
Now, Gower, is that any way to talk to a friend?
Some friend. I nearly drowned. And poor Joe has the pneumonia.
I'll say a prayer for him. I owe you both for making me out to be a hero to James Hawkins and friends.
Don't want your thanks or your prayers. I want the gold you promised.
And John Silver always keeps his promises. It's right here in me coat pocket. Hands up, as the outlaws say.
You dare to draw a pistol on me? I'll shoot you down like a dog.
Your powder's still wet, Gower, but mine is dry.
No!
Hard to believe I missed at this range. Oh well,
get me
marksmanship
out of this mud.
Never was my strong point.
Help me, Silver! I'm sinking into this infernal swamp!
I could hold out me crutch, but then what if you was to pull me in? Then we'd both be goners.
Help me, man! It's up to my chest, my neck!
Yes, I can see that. But not to worry. I'll say a prayer for you, too. Oh, that's me ship. Can't let it sail without me. Farewell, Captain Gower. Keep your chin up!
Silver!
Raise the gangplank! plank, Mr. Reed.
Blazing the gangplank.
Wait, here comes Long John Silver.
Wait for us.
Wait for us.
Permission to come aboard, Captain.
Permission to come aboard.
Next time I'll sail without you, Mr. Silver. Now mind you tend to your pots and pans.
Aye, Captain.
How long until we can set sail, Mr. Reed?
Not long now, Captain.
Prepare the ship to set sail. There's a puff of wind from the west.
We want an adventure. It's beautiful.
Will this old ship even make it to the Caribbean?
We'll make sure of it, Master Max. Smell that salt air. It's good to feel the sea beneath me.
Your spyglass, Mr. Reed. What do you see at the end of the pier?
It's the constable. And there's a posse with him. With torches and pitchforks.
Let me see. That's Captain Gower with them. The man's covered in mud.
Blast you, John Silver! Stop that ship! You're not going anywhere except to jail!
Mr. Silver, what's the meaning of this?
Captain Bonnie, cross me heart and hope to die. I don't have a clue.
If that angry mob makes it aboard this ship, our adventure's gonna be over before it even begins!
Treasure Island 2020, Episode 3. Will the Hispaniola make it away into the harbor with its brave crew? Or are James and his friends done for even before the adventure begins? And what's in store for our heroes at the hands of the mysterious John Silver? There's plenty more adventure waiting for you in the next episode of The Appleseed, featuring Part 4 of Treasure Island 2020. You can find each new episode wherever you get your favorite podcasts or at byuradio.org. Just Google Treasure Island 2020. In fact, if you can't wait until the next episode of The Appleseed, all of the adventures of James and his friends are waiting for you to listen to right now. Treasure Island 2020 is a time-traveling, swashbuckling adventure reimagined from Robert Louis Stevenson's classic novel, which, of course, you can find in your library. But we're going to acquaint you with Stevenson's book here on the Appleseed, too. There's more coming up. I'm Sam Payne.
You're listening to the Appleseed. We'll be back in a moment.
Welcome back to the Appleseed. Here's Sam Payne.
It's great to have you back with us on today's episode of The Appleseed, sometime just about every day, filled with stories for you and your family. What a pleasure it is for me to be with you today. Now, before the break, you heard Treasure Island 2020, Episode 3, and there'll be more tomorrow. And as we've been getting Treasure Island 2020 ready for you to hear, we've been having a lot of fun discovering Robert Louis Stevenson's novel, the novel upon which Treasure Island 2020 is based. Now, maybe the most memorable character in that story, the one people see when they close their eyes and think of Treasure Island, is Long John Silver, the one-legged seafaring man. You met him in Episode 2 of Treasure Island 2020, and you got better acquainted with him in Episode 3, and you're going to get a lot more. Now, you'll remember that James Hawkins gets a warning about a one-legged seafaring man from Billy Bones. And you'd think that as soon as James meets John Silver, he'd clue in to the fact that this is the guy he was warned about. But in Robert Louis Stevenson's novel, it's easy to see how James assumes that in spite of the warning from Billy Bones, this guy can't be the guy he's been warned about. First of all, it's a long time from the time James first hears about the one-legged seafaring man to the time he actually meets him. And in that time, James's imagination kind of goes wild. You know how that can happen? James takes what he's heard and his imagination, step by step, slowly turns what he's heard into something truly fantastical. That ever happened to you? He sometimes imagines Long John Silver missing a leg up to the knee and other times up to the hip. There's nothing really unusual about that kind of imagining. You may know people who fit that description. But then James's imagination
creates a kind of monster with just one enormous, powerful leg growing out of the center of his body. A monster out for James's blood, who leaps about on that one leg, chasing James in his nightmares. And then James meets Long John Silver, and Silver seems like a regular guy. He seems kind and well-spoken and smart and honest, nothing like the crazed monster that's been chasing James through his dreams. But I'm getting ahead of myself. In Treasure Island 2020, Long John Silver comes into the story after James and Max and Morgan find themselves flung back in time through the vortex. John Silver is pretty much waiting for them right there on the beach on the other side of the vortex. And in Treasure Island, the book, here's how Long John Silver comes into the story. When James finds Billy's map, he shows it to a couple of people, regulars at the Admiral Benbow, Dr. Livesey, and Squire John Trelawney. And together, they decide to use the map to find the treasure. Squire Trelawney heads off alone to make the arrangements for the voyage, which includes buying a ship and hiring a crew. And after he's been gone a while, Jim and Dr. Livesey receive a letter. And it's in the letter that you first hear of Long John Silver. Squire Trelawney writes that he had a hard time putting a crew together, and he admits that what he really needed was some help from someone who knows more about going to sea than he does. But why hear it from me when you can hear it from Trelawney's letter itself? Here's a bit from that letter from the book Treasure Island, the bit about meeting Long John Silver.
The most remarkable stroke of fortune brought me the very man that I required. I was standing on the dock when, by the merest accident, I fell in talk with him. I found he was an old sailor, kept a public house, knew all the seafaring men in Bristol, had lost his health ashore, and wanted a good berth as cook to get to sea again. He had hobbled down there that morning, he said, to get a smell of the salt. I was monstrously touched. So would you have been. And out of pure pity, I engaged him on the spot to be ship's cook. Long John Silver, he's called, and has lost a leg. But that I regarded as a recommendation, since he lost it in his country's service under the immortal Admiral Hawke. He has no pension, Livesey. Imagine the abominable age we live in. Well, sir, I thought I had only found a cook, but it was a crew I had discovered. Between Silver and myself, we got together in a few days a company of the toughest old salts imaginable. Not pretty to look at, but fellows by their faces of the most indomitable spirit. I declare we could fight a frigate. Long John even got rid of two out of the six or seven I had already engaged. He showed me in a moment that they were just the sort of freshwater swabs we had to fear in an adventure of importance.
Well, that's how we meet Long John Silver. We learn in Trelawney's letter that John Silver, all innocent-like, helps pick the crew for the voyage. And we learn that Trelawney has hired Silver himself as the ship's cook. Well, James Hawkins reads Trelawney's letter and then goes himself to Bristol to join the voyage. And that's when he meets Long John Silver himself. Silver owns a pub where sailors can go to get food and drink, and James is sent there with a letter. Now, in this little passage, you'll hear James refer to a guy named Black Dog. In fact, Black Dog is sitting in the pub when James gets there. Black Dog, along with a couple of other pirates, had come to the Admiral Benbow looking for Billy. And James is alarmed to see him again in Bristol. But again, I'm getting ahead of myself. Here's the scene from Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, in which Jim Hawkins meets that most famous of all pirates, Long John Silver.
When I had done breakfasting, the squire gave me a note addressed to John Silver at the sign of the Spyglass, and told me I should easily find the place by following the line of the docks and keeping a bright lookout for a little tavern with a large brass telescope for sign.
I set off, overjoyed at this opportunity to see some more of the ships and seamen, and picked my way among a great crowd of people in carts and bales, for the dock was now at its busiest, until I found the tavern in question. It was a bright enough little place of entertainment. The sign was newly painted, the windows had neat red curtains, the floor was cleanly sanded, there was a street on each side and an open door on both, which made the large, low room pretty clear to see in spite of clouds of tobacco smoke. The customers were mostly seafaring men, and they talked so loudly that I hung at the door, almost afraid to enter. As I was waiting, a man came out of a side room, and at a glance I was sure he must be Long John. His left leg was cut off close by the hip, and under the left shoulder he carried a crutch, which he managed with wonderful dexterity, hopping about upon it like a bird. He was very tall and strong, with a face as big as a ham, plain and pale, but intelligent and smiling. Indeed, he seemed in the most cheerful spirits, whistling as he moved about among the tables, with a merry word or a slap on the shoulder for the more favorite of his guests. Now, to tell you the truth, from the very first mention of Long John in Squire Trelawney's letter, I had taken a fear in my mind that he might prove to be the very one-legged sailor whom I had watched for so long at the old Benbow. But one look at the man before me was enough. I had seen the captain and Black Dog and the blind man, Pew, and I thought I knew what a buccaneer was like. A very different creature, according to me, from this clean and pleasant-tempered landlord. I plucked up courage at once, crossed the threshold, and walked right up to the man where he stood, propped on his crutch, talking to a customer. "Mr. Silver, sir," I asked, holding out the note.
"Yes, my lad," said he. "Such is my name, to be sure. And who may you be?"
And then as he saw the squire's letter, he seemed to me to give something almost like a start.
"Oh," said he quite loud, and offering his hand, "I see. You're our new cabin boy. Pleased I am to see you." And he took me by the hand in his large, firm grasp.
Just then, one of the customers at the far side rose suddenly and made for the door. It was close by him, and he was out in the street in a moment. But his hurry had attracted my notice, and I recognized him at a glance. It was the tallow-faced man wanting two fingers who had come first to the Admiral Benbow.
"Oh," I cried, "stop him! It's Black Dog!" "I don't care two coppers who he is," cried Silver, "but he hasn't paid his score. Harry, run and catch him."
One of the others who was nearest the door leaped up and started in pursuit.
"If he were Admiral Hawk, he shall pay his score," cried Silver,
and then relinquishing my hand, "Who'd you say he was?" he asked.
"Black what?"
"Dog, sir," said I. "Has Mr. Trelawney not told you of the buccaneers? He was one of them."
"So," cried Silver, "in my house. Ben, run and help Harry. One of those swabs, was he? Was that you drinking with him, Morgan? Step up here."
The man whom he called Morgan, an old gray-haired, mahogany-faced sailor, came forward pretty sheepishly, rolling his quid.
"Now, Morgan," said Long John very sternly, "you never clapped your eyes on that black dog before, did you now?"
"Not I, sir," said Morgan with a salute.
"You didn't know his name, did you?"
"No, sir."
"By the powers, Tom Morgan, it's as good for you," exclaimed the landlord. "If you'd been mixed up with the like of that, you would never have put another foot in my house, you may lay to that. And what was he saying to you?"
"I don't rightly know, sir," answered Morgan.
"You call that a head on your shoulders or a blessed dead eye?" cried Long John. "Don't rightly know, don't you? Perhaps you don't happen to rightly know who you were speaking to, perhaps. Come now, what was he jawing? Voyages, captains, ships? Pipe up, what was it?"
He was talking of keel-hauling," answered Morgan.
"Keel-hauling, was you? And a mighty suitable thing, too, and you may lay to that. Get back to your place for a lubber, Tom."
And then, as Morgan rolled back to his seat, Silver added to me in a confidential whisper that was very flattering, as I thought,
"He's quite an honest man, Tom Morgan, only stupid. And now," he ran on again aloud, "let's see, Black Dog. No, I don't know the name, not I. Yet I kind of think I've seen the swab. He used to come here with a blind beggar, he used."
"That he did, you may be sure," said I. "I knew that blind man, too. His name was Pew."
"It was," cried Silver, now quite excited. "Pew, that were his name, for certain, and he looked like a shark, he did. If we run down his black dog now, there'll be news for Captain Trelawney. Ben's a good runner. Few seamen run better than Ben. He should run him down, hand over hand, by the powers. He talked a keel-hauling, did he? I'll keel-haul him.
Well, that's the scene from Treasure Island in which James Hawkins first meets Long John Silver. And you can see how crafty Long John is, the way he talks about Black Dog, the way he chases him off. You'd believe yourself that there's no room in Long John Silver's heart for shady characters like pirates. But it's all a little too perfect, isn't it? Long John Silver, enemy to pirates and friend to all the rest. The honest cook who just wants to get to sea. And isn't it a tiny bit suspicious that he himself, when it comes down to it, has picked the crew for the voyage? Well, James doesn't suspect a thing. In fact, here's a little passage that describes a little walk James takes with Long John Silver along the quays. Quays are the docks, really, the places along the waterway where ships load and unload. Here's what James says. On our little walk along the quays, he made himself the most interesting companion, telling me about the different ships that we passed by, their rig, tonnage, and nationality, explaining the work that was going forward, how one was discharging, another taking in cargo, and a third making ready for sea, and every now and then telling me some little anecdote of ships or seamen, or repeating a nautical phrase till I had learned it perfectly. I began to see that here was one of the best of possible shipmates.
The best of possible shipmates. That's how Jim describes Long John Silver. Suspicious at all? Well, seems pretty innocent. But I can't help but be a little suspicious myself. Anyway, that's how you meet Long John Silver. And I want to share with you one bit more from the novel. In this little bit, you get acquainted with Long John Silver at sea. As the Hispaniola first sets sail on the voyage, you meet his famous parrot, who Silver introduces as a female, even though it's named after the famous pirate Captain Flint. And you also learn Long John Silver's nickname, the name the other crew members have given their cook.
Barbecue, as the men called him. Aboard ship, he carried his crutch by a lanyard around his neck to have both hands as free as possible. It was something to see him wedge the foot of the crutch against a bulkhead and, propped against it, yielding to every movement of the ship, get on with his cooking like someone safe ashore. Still, more strange was it to see him in the heaviest of weather cross the deck. He had a line or two rigged up to help him across the widest spaces. Long John's earrings, they were called, and would hand himself from one place to another, now using the crutch, now trailing it alongside by the lanyard, as quickly as another man could walk. Yet some of the men who had sailed with him before expressed their pity to see him so reduced.
"He's no common man, Barbecue," said the coxswain to me. "He had good schooling in his young days, and can speak like a book when so minded. And brave, a lion's got nothing alongside a Long John. I seen him grapple four and knock their heads together, him unarmed."
All the crew respected and even obeyed him. He had a way of talking to each and doing everybody some particular service. To me, he was unweariedly kind and always glad to see me in the galley, which he kept as clean as a new pin, the dishes hanging up burnished and his parrot in a cage in one corner.
"Come away, Hawkins," he would say. "Come and have a yarn with John. Nobody more welcome than yourself, my son. Sit you down and hear the news. Here's Captain Flint." I called my parrot Captain Flint after the famous buccaneer. "Here's Captain Flint predicting success to our voyage. Wasn't you, Captain?"
And the parrot would say, with great rapidity, "Pieces of eight! Pieces of eight! Pieces of eight!" till you wondered that it was not out of breath, or till John threw his handkerchief over the cage.
"Now that bird," he would say, "is maybe 200 years old, Hawkins. They lives forever, mostly. And if anybody's seen more wickedness, It must be the devil himself. She's sailed with England, the great captain of England, the pirate. She's been at Madagascar and at Malabar and Suriname and Providence and Portobello. She was at the fishing up of the wrecked plate ships. It's there she learned pieces of eight, and little wonder, 350,000 of them, Hawkins. She was at the boarding of the Viceroy of the Indies out of Goa, she was. And to look at her, you would think she was a babby, but you smelt powder, didn't you, Captain? Stand by, go about, the parrot would scream. Ha ha, she's a handsome craft, she is, the cook would say, and give her sugar from his pocket. And then the bird would peck at the bars and swear straight on, passing belief for wickedness. There, John would add, you can't touch pitch and not be mucked, lad. Here's this poor old innocent bird of mine swearing blue fire, and none the wiser, you may lay to that. She would swear the same in a manner of speaking before chaplain. And John would touch his forelock with a solemn way he had that made me think he was the best of men.
The best of men, the best of possible shipmates. These are the ways that James first describes John Silver. And there'll be a lot more John Silver and James and Morgan and Max and all the rest on the next episode of Treasure Island 2020. I'm Sam Payne. Our sound engineer is Stuart Foster. The producer of The Appleseed is Jeff Simpson. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us for an hour of stories, music, and conversation made for you and your family and brought to you by The Appleseed. The show is a production of BYU Radio. We'll see you next time.